which is fabulous. So, Em, is it all right if I just pray for you? Great. Father, thank you for Em. Thank you for her heart for you, her heart for this church and for those around her. And I just pray for your peace to be with her now and that she'll be able to share all that's on her heart in the freedom. Amen.
I actually promised my children that I wouldn't be embarrassing and emotional, but I'm just going to do an emotional thing to start with and then I'll get myself together, okay? I just wanted to say that when we were singing that song, it's just really meaningful for me because my mum, as you know, died 10 years ago. Karen's mum died at a similar time. And I just wanted to say that how amazing it is that our children today are getting baptized. Thank you, Karen. That Maisie and Joey and Elijah and Alex and Tom have got those people looking down and rejoicing with them in heaven today. So I just wanted to say that first. Now, I'll gather myself and we'll do something fun. Okay, this thing is really cool. Okay, next we can go for it. Now, I wanted to talk about an AKA this morning. The Rock, who is it? Not the wrestler. I'm talking about someone in the Bible. Who will it be? Peter, AKA The Rock. Okay, about 16 years ago, I think it is, in 2001, a group of us went from this church and we went and did a kids group at New Wine, 500 kids, and we taught them something called the Rumble. I don't need it yet, don't worry. Hey, no. I tell you what, you three, I need you up here, so please stay. That's brilliant. Now, John's been here for 7 years, and since John was here, every time we did this kids group for 500 kids, day and night, we would start and end it with the Rumble. Now, we've been doing kids work for a very long time, and every time we start the kids work, we start with the Rumble. So I thought today is their second to last Sunday. Don't you think we should do the Rumble? So any kids that are here, don't worry, Chris, it's fine. Any kids that are here that know the Rumble, can you just come on up? Awesome. Any adults don't think you're going to get away with it? You need to stand up. If everybody in the church stands, that would be great. And basically, we'll just teach you one move and then you just have to follow, okay? If children can do it, you can do it. Now, John, the only thing, really embarrassing thing is I've done this for 16 years and because I'm nervous this morning, I can't remember it. Can you just come right out the front? Because, John, when you do the... It's the first bit. Let's just show them, let's get ready to rumble. Dave Green knows it. I don't know what you're laughing about, Dave Green. Okay. Yeah, get a microphone. I'll do my next step.
Okay, there's a lot of stuff going on, but what you really need to know...
It's the let's get ready to rumble bit.
Yes, we go... Let shoulder get ready to rumble. We go down. Let's get ready to... Oh, hang on. Rumble. Get ready.
Get
steady. And rumble. Everybody rumble. You'll pick it up. It'll be great.
It'll be fine. Okay. Just join in. Let's go, Nick. This is the kids
Let's
doing
it. Let's get ready okay. to rumble.
First thing That's we do is we jump.
They're jumping on the spot.
Jump as high as you can.
One just wreck the mic, one just wreck the mic, one just wreck the mic.
Now we're going to jog. Knees up. Okay, now we're going to the side jazz hand.
We can get you grooving. This track's booming.
And clap. Side jazz hands. Okay, here we go. Let's get ready to rumble.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Get ready, get steady, and rumble. Everybody rumble. Let's get ready to rumble.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Get ready, get steady, and rumble. Everybody
okay, jump as high as you can.
Oh, Nick, so good.
Okay, freestyle, foot, freestyle. Okay, ready?
Ooh, 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 ooh.
Okay, now we're gonna jump.
Jumping.
We can cause a sensation. Give us the aspiration, we can cause a sensation.
Are you ready?
1, 2, 3, 4. I think Chris should do that every Sunday, don't you?
Oh, I love it. Seriously, can't breathe now, though. Okay, thank you, guys. That looked really awesome from up here. I think it's about the only time I dance. Now, I wonder how you felt when I mentioned that you were going to dance. I wonder whether you, like, gulped with dread. You sort of busied yourself with people around you so that you couldn't do it. Or maybe some people, Chris went out for a cigarette and made sure that he was unavailable. Now, if you were psychologist Carol Dweck, who talks about growth mindset, she would say that any of those things show that you have got a fixed mindset. That's when you don't like trying new things, doing anything different because you don't like stepping out of your comfort zone, or doing anything that might make you look silly. And the result from that is that your experiences are limited by frozen by fear of the unknown. Now, if you're sitting there thinking, oh, that's not me, I would just challenge you to think about if you drink out of a certain cup every day, or if you sit in the same seat on the sofa, then maybe I'd like to challenge you that maybe you are in habits that you don't even realise. And I don't know if you know, but it takes 66 days to form a new habit. So maybe have a think about that one. Now, the other mindset that Carol Dweck talks about is a growth mindset. This is where you embrace change and challenge, where you're open to learning new things, you're willing to step out of your comfort zone, and even if you feel fear, you do it anyway because fear does not control you. Now, this was me a little bit yesterday because we went to Chessington on our Tesco vouchers and Joey made me go on the vampire ride and I was literally terrified. I went on it 3 times. It was cool. So sometimes when you step out of your comfort zone, you can really enjoy yourself. Now, I know a lot of you children know about growth mindset because I've talked about it in lots of schools. Put your hand up if you know about growth mindset. Yes, loads of you do. But basically, it's the main thrust of growth mindset is knowing that failure does not define you. Failure is a really positive thing because if you make mistakes, you learn from those mistakes. That's how our best learning happens. And I went to the Houses of Commons, House of Parliament even, with my lovely friends here. We went up to collect an award last November for Life and Soul. And actually this picture is really poignant because I think one of those policemen is actually PC Palmer, who died in the terrorist attacks. But when we went up there, I really wanted to buy something from the shop that showed that we had been there. And I found this amazing rubber which said the House of Commons on one side, and on the other side it said, all great men make mistakes. That was in the 1800s, so this isn't a new idea. There's also a really cool quote from Theodore Roosevelt in 1925, which I won't read out, and I know it's really small, but maybe you could go and look at it when you get home tonight. It's really powerful, and it talks about how actually, if you try and fail, it's much better to have tried in the first place than to have never tried at all. It's really powerful. Now, even before 1925 and before the 1800s, there was a guy in the Bible who I think had a growth mindset, and his name was Peter. Now, he was one of Jesus' closest friends, and one day, Peter decides that he's going to take a risk, that he's going to tackle a challenge. He's going to step out and do something new. And he's going to use his growth mindset. He's been out on the Sea of Galilee. And with his disciples, he is just chilling out and he sees someone walking towards him on the water. Now, I like to have a visual aid. This is obviously very small. I bought this from my school because we have a boat that the children play in. And I think it's quite a cool visual aid because it actually shows you probably the boat would have been a bit bigger than this. But it's actually probably wasn't much bigger than this. And actually, if you stand in a boat, it is really, really wobbly. And that's what it would have been like for them sitting in the boat. If you're sitting down, it's fine, but standing up is a really quite a scary thing in a boat, especially if your shoelace is undone like mine. Okay, so his friends are all in the boat and they look out and they see what they think is a ghost coming towards them across the water. And they are totally terrified, frozen by fear. But crucially, Peter is not afraid. He says that he hears Jesus' voice say to him, "Come across the waves." And so as the picture shows you, he stands up in the boat, even if it's wobbling, and he starts to walk towards Jesus. And at that moment, Peter becomes a mold breaker, a risk taker. He feels the fear that you would feel if you were standing up in a boat and the waves are splashing around you, but he chooses to ignore it. He dares to do something different against the crowd. He listens to the voice of Jesus and he acts on it. So he swings his legs over the side of the boat and he starts to walk across the water towards his best friend, Jesus. And that's what the young people today who are going to get baptized have decided to do. Joey and Lige and Maisie and Alex and Tom have decided to listen to the voice of Jesus, the voice of God, and they've decided to act on it. And as Christians, that's what we need to do every day, is to listen to the voice of Jesus, even if it's risky, even if you feel fear. It's really important that every day we listen to his voice and to act on it. Now, I'm sure you know the next part of the story from the Bible. It says that Peter suddenly noticed the strong wind around him, and he suddenly became frightened and he began to sink. So often we can become really distracted by things that are around us. We can worry about what other people think of us. We notice, like Peter noticed the wind, we notice things around us and we start to feel the fear. Now, a short while ago, our family went to St. Paul's Cathedral, and apparently it's got one of the best views in London. We would definitely agree with that. We've been to the Sky Garden as well, but I think St. Paul's is even better. And we started to walk up the steps. Now, the first load of steps are just going round and round and round, and you can only see the person in front of you because it's an inside lot of steps. And those first lots of steps take you up to the Whispering Gallery, which is incredible. Then you go through a little door, and you go up another staircase of steps right up to the next gallery, which is the Stone Gallery. That's 276 steps up to that one. And again, that was fine. I was following everybody else, no problem. The problem came for me was on the next layer, because when you get to the Stone Gallery, the next set of steps that goes up to the Golden Gallery, they're not in a twirly-whirly bit where you can only just see a few steps in front of you. They are in the middle of a great big open space, and they are metal steps with a gap in between each one. I used to be freaked out by those sort of steps. I still am. So we're all going up. Joey's totally in front of me because he was encouraging me. You're not frightened of heights. Lige's frightened of heights, aren't you? So I was at the back, and I was following Joe up these steps. And everything was going well. And then suddenly I decided to look down. Big mistake. It was so frightening. You could just see these steps going up in front of you. I could see steps going down below me. My legs literally froze. And because I was following Joe's back and I stopped, I took my eyes off it, he carried on. Everyone else carried on and I was stuck on these stairs. Everyone else had gone, they didn't realise. And I was absolutely terrified. This is exactly what happened with Peter. Peter was fine when he had his eyes fixed on Jesus. But the minute he took his eyes off and looked down, that was a big, big mistake. He started to panic. When he looked at Jesus, he was doing amazing things. When he looked down, he started to sink. Now, I know that all of us take our eyes off Jesus at different times. We all do that. People who are getting baptized will do it. It doesn't make a difference. We're all imperfect. Actually, ironically, we sometimes take our eyes off Jesus at the times when things are going well, but probably more we do it when, the other way around. We do take our eyes off him when things are difficult, but we often take our eyes off him when things are going well, don't we? Because we think we can do it on our own. The really amazing thing is that God always promises to catch us when we fall. And that's exactly what happened with Peter. Jesus, it says in the Bible, immediately reached out his hand. He caught him and said, "Why do you doubt me?" See, even when we mess up, even when we take our eyes off God, he's still there to catch us when we're sinking. And what is really important is that Peter got out of the boat in the first place, that he tried. He used his growth mindset and he thought, "I'm going to do it, even though I feel the fear." And that's what's important for the people who are getting baptized this morning, that you're doing it, you're stepping out. It doesn't matter if you mess up and make mistakes. The fact that you're doing it is absolutely amazing. That's what God loves. I remember an old song that we used to sing as children. You might well remember it. It's an old hymn. It says, "Fix your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." So I'd like to leave us this morning with a clip. And if you imagine your life is like a racetrack, running a race, it says in the Bible, doesn't it, that at times we're going to trip and fall and things are going to go really well sometimes and sometimes it's not going to go well at all. So just imagine that as your analogy for life, running on a racetrack. But every time we fall over, we need to remember that God is our Father and he's there to pick us up when we fall. Just as Jesus was there, reaching out his hand to Peter, saying, "I'm here, why did you doubt me?" That is what God says to us when we trip over and fall. And if you're sitting there thinking, "No, that's not for me, it can't be true for me," then I'd like to just show you this hangman that my Indy did. We play hangman every night before we go to bed. And this was Indy's hangman the other night. It's quite hard to get. I think we are all special to God because we are in his heart. And that's true. If a 7-year-old, now 8, can believe that, then that's true for every single one of us. I think we're all special to God because we are in his heart. And that's what God would say to each one of us. So as we watch this, maybe you could just pray in your heart to God. "God, thank you that you raised me up so I can stand on mountains. You raised me up to walk on those stormy seas. I am strong when I'm on your shoulders. You raised me up to be more than I can be."
my soul so weary. When troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. Raise me up to more.